Well, greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's already had a rich morning, haven't we? Been a real blessing. Could we all rise for a word of prayer before we begin? Father in heaven, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you for this morning. We've already been richly blessed. You have manifested your word unto us, Lord, through song, through the testimonies that have been shared, Lord, and through the children's lesson. And Father, we pray that you would just continue to manifest your truth unto us this morning, God. Just pray that your word would have free course. You would just help me to share the things you've laid on my heart to share, Lord. Give me clear thoughts. Pray that you would receive honor and glory. Your name could be lifted up, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may all be seated. Part of me feels this morning like my message has already been preached through the testimonies that have been shared. Been really blessed with that, but been wanting to bring a message on justification. And I don't know where your mind goes to, what verses you think of when you think of justification. And I thought about asking, but for the sake of time, often when I think of justification, it has to do a bit with how that we're justified through faith by what Christ has done for us. And I want to touch on that. But there is another justification that I'd like to touch on this morning that hinders us from the justification that is by faith, and that is self-justification. Harvey touched on that this morning. The title of my message is Self-Justification versus Justification by Faith. What is the difference? And when I looked up in the Strong's, the word justify means to render just or innocent, free, be righteous. But it's where we find our justification to be innocent or free or to be righteous. It's either in self, which is not a true innocence or freedom, but only in Christ Jesus. And when I looked up self-justifier, Webster's 1828, it says, one who excuses or justifies himself. And you know, there's many ways we can justify ourselves. Sometimes it is when we do something wrong and somebody approaches us and we try to somehow minimize or justify or excuse us of why we did what we did. Or it can be in a way of when we read the Word of God and God enlightens us to truth of the Bible. And we know it will take us a path that is maybe uncomfortable. We don't want to go there. And so we justify ourselves and not wanting to obey the word of God or the truth of God. And another way is that we sometimes, when we approach someone for something they've done, and yet maybe we're guilty of the same, but somehow when we did it, it was a little different. You know, the reason we did it was because of, and we can go down the line of explaining why we did what we did, justifying ourselves and yet holding the other person accountable of what they did when it's maybe the same thing, maybe a little different, but yet in the same line. And I would like to look, I guess this morning, we're going to be looking at quite a few scripture here, some examples in the Word of God. But I think we could reflect on our young children as we think of sometimes when something happens, we approach and say, what happened? And almost instantly, with whether guilty or not guilty, say, well, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. They're justifying what happened. And maybe sometimes it's not them, but even sometimes we find when they're guilty, that happens. But what about us bigger children? Do we find ourselves doing that in the same? You know, we live in a world that people have a hard time acknowledging their mistakes and their wrongs. And just as I was preparing the message, I that incident that happened to me. Just it's sort of ironic. When you working with a lot of people in the business world, you order things and they, you know, we all make mistakes. But it's interesting when you try to probe to see what happened or whatever, is just you go out on a lot of bunny trails to try to justify what happened. And instead of just saying, I messed up. I'm sorry. It can be in church life. It can be in marriage. Just a lot of different areas. When we don't take accountability for what we do and we justify ourselves, it hinders us from the justification that comes to just simply being honest, confessing, and looking to Christ for our justification. Self-justification is a product of pride. Harvey mentioned that this morning about when he said he was trying to justify himself that how he grew up and how the Amish do their things was the right way. But it's always a product of pride when we try to justify ourselves. Somehow we want to make so that we don't look bad. But the truth is that we will never do enough good things or be good enough that our own righteousness will be justification that will be satisfactory to the Lord. It will be only be through the way that he provided for us. There's a verse in Psalms 26 that says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his goodness, but a faithful man, who can find?" You know, we can all share with people all the good things we have done, but without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is none of us that will be faithful all the time or do good all the time. And I guess the verse that sort of has been on my mind as I've been thinking about this, and I've looked at it different times, even over the years, and as was on the preached, I came across it again, and I just felt like the Lord would have me speak on this subject of self-justification. You can turn with me to Luke 16. I'm not going to read the whole part, but it starts in, it's talking about the unjust steward. I'm sure we're familiar with that story. But that his master called on him to give an account for his stewardship. And we know the story that how he went and he lessened the debt of each one that he was working with, so that when he is cast out, that they will receive him into his house. And it goes on down and it talks about making yourselves friends with the unrighteous mammon, that when you fall, you may receive you into everlasting habitations. There's a lot of things we could talk about there, but I want to go on down to verse 10. It says, "He that is faithful in which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust to true riches? If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is in your own? No man, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And then Jesus said, and he said unto them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So as we look at that, and we look at God's view of self-justification, Jesus said that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And I believe he's talking about self-justification. Because we're trusting in ourselves instead of the sacrifice that Christ went through for each one of us on the cross. And this is one point where it seems like the Pharisees, it says they were covetous. So they were guilty. They knew they were guilty of covetousness. And instead of just acknowledging and confessing, They justified themselves. And I don't know what your thoughts are when you think of abomination, but to me it always seemed like an abomination is something that's terrible. That's just God despises. Something that God despises. And I looked up the definition. It says detestation, idolatry, abomination. And when I looked up detestation in the Webster's 1820 dictionary, it says extreme hatred, abhorrence. Extreme hatred, abhorrence. This is God's view when we try to justify ourselves. And he brings in the picture there. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. And it brings the picture in of a slave relationship. You know, when someone has a slave under their jurisdiction, he's only working for one master. He can't work for one and then go work for another. He's only serving one master. And while we can have God and money, we cannot serve God and money. We may use money in our daily lives, but we can't serve both. Brings out the picture there. We cannot serve God and mammon. And even though we try to sometimes maybe justify ourselves, it says, God knoweth our heart. To some people, that that's a comfort. And to other people, it makes them very uncomfortable to think that God knoweth our hearts. And we see here that God judges us with a different set of values than the world does. As we think of the world, how they value things and how they may be moved by someone who is in power or is very famous or has a lot of wealth. And because of that, they might justify what they do because they want to be friends with or they want to be involved with. But he's just bringing in that God knoweth our motives, our actions, and the things we do, in that he sees our heart. He doesn't judge us by how famous we are, how much money we have, or how, you know, wealthy, but he judges us by what's on the inside. Our heart. And as we think of examples, we can go back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve. And I guess I just like to look at a couple different examples as we think of justification. And these were not examples of people from the world, even though they're very prevalent to do that. These were actually people that were supposedly the children of God. But to think of Adam and Eve when they were in the garden, and we know the story well, how that God had given them a commandment that they could eat of every tree that was in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were not to eat from it. But as they looked upon it, and as they, it says in verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was to be was desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And their eyes were both open, and they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. And it says that as God came to them in the cool of the day, calling for Adam, he said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I'm afraid, God. I hit myself because I'm naked. And God said, well, who said that thou art naked? Did you eat of the tree of life that I told you not to eat? And what was Adam's response? Lord, I have sinned. I have not. No. He said, God, it was the woman that thou gavest me. It was like he was almost blaming God for what he did. He said, the woman that thou gavest, she ate and gave me and I did eat. And so God went to Eve and Eve said, well, God, it was the serpent that deceived me. And we see that following that, there was a curse that came that is affecting us today. I don't know what would have happened if they'd have just been honest and acknowledged their sin and said, Lord, we have sinned you know, maybe the same thing would have happened. But I guess just the idea of justifying our actions or what we do. Another example I have here is the example of Moses on Mount Sinai, when God told him to come up to Mount Sinai, and he said he was there 40 days and 40 nights, and the people got tired of waiting. And sometimes as I've been going through these and I've been looking up and I've been seeing things of that were in their lives that made them do things they shouldn't have done. One was waiting. They got tired of waiting. So where is Moses? And they were giving up that he was coming back. And so they came to Aaron and he said, make us an idol or a calf, something, because he said, we don't know if he'll ever come back. And it says that Aaron told them to bring all their earrings, bring everything to him, and he made a golden calf for them to worship. And Aaron built an altar, and as this was happening, God told Moses, he said, go down to the mountain. He said, the people have sinned and have turned against me. And as Moses was coming down from the mountain, this is what he said to Aaron. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot, for thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, which God shall be before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast into the fire, and there came out this calf. Just like he took the earrings and he just cast them into the fire, and this is what came out of it, a calf. But if we turn back one chapter, it says, all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand. And he fashioned it with a graving tool. And after he had made a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And now he's making it sound like he just threw it in and this is what happened. But again, just looking at justifying ourselves. And I guess I'm not preaching this message this morning because I feel like we brothers are just failing in this. In fact, I've been blessed. People coming, confessing, making things right. It's more bringing an awareness. Brothers, this is the way we want to live. Amen. Just being open and honest and acknowledging and confessing. Because we see that as we look at the examples in the Old Testament, that it did not turn out right when they justified themselves for their own actions. And I'm going to turn to another one in 1 Samuel, thinking about Saul. There's a point I would like to bring out there. So Samuel was anointed as king, and it says Saul that reigned 1 year. It's in chapter 13, 1 Samuel 13, verse 1. Saul had reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel. Whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Mishmash and Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. So they had a total of 3,000 people. And it says that Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines, and all Israel heard it. And the Philistines, it says they came out against them, and they had quite an army. It says that they had 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as sand which was upon the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Mishmash east toward from Bethaven. And Saul had 3,000 people. And I guess Samuel had scheduled at a certain time that he was going to come. He was going to do a sacrifice. He was going to do an offering. But as they were waiting there on Samuel to come, the people were getting distressed. They were hiding in caves. They were afraid of what was going to happen. And finally, even though Saul knew it was against the commandment of the Lord for him to offer sacrifice, he said, "Bring me a burnt offering and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. It came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore I said, the Philistines will come down now upon me in Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said unto Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of thy God, which he commanded thee." And here again, we see a lot of excuses of why he did what he did, instead of just saying, "I have sinned against the Lord in what I did." Just acknowledge it. He tried to justify himself. The people were afraid. They were afraid of, and supplication had not been made unto the Lord. And Samuel said, The Lord would have established thy kingdom forever, but now the kingdom will not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And then there's another Samuel later on in life, when he was told to go to the Amalek. He told them to go smite the city of Amalek and destroy everything, not saving anything. And so they went, and it says that they kept the king of Agag, and they kept all the good sheep, the whatever that they wanted to sacrifice, even though they had the commandment of the Lord to destroy everything. And here again, Samuel came unto Saul. And this is what he said when Samuel came. He said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Samuel said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." And Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said unto me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed.' Wherefore thou didst not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord." And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord has sent me, and have brought Agag the king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." But the people took, so he was blaming the people, but the people took. And I guess one thing that stood out to me here was, he said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight." And I guess I've been pondering that. I feel like when I find myself little in my own sight, that I have, like we heard this morning, nothing to rely on but the grace of God and the sacrifice that he has given us for our justification. We find it hard to justify ourselves, right? Because we need the Lord. But when we find ourselves in a place where we feel like we have it all together, it's so easy. I'll just be honest, as a dad, I found myself when maybe responding to our children in the wrong way. Well, it's because they did this and this, and that kind of made it right, but it doesn't. And so important that we find ourselves, that we stay little in our own sight. Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. And it's either justifying ourselves before men or before God. And I think that when we have a wrong view of who God is, we tend to justify instead of acknowledging God. When you turn to Luke 10, it's another example. Starting in verse 25 to 29, says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Then it says, But he, willing to justify himself, asked Jesus, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus told him the story of the priest and the Levite and the Good Samaritan. And in the end, he asked him, Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy upon him. And Jesus said, Go and do thou likewise. As he even told Jesus the commandment about loving the Lord God and loving our neighbor as thyself. But it says, he willing to justify himself said, Well, who's my neighbor? Somehow, he wanted to limit maybe who he should extend mercy to. But Jesus just said that basically, whoever you see that has need, be there for them. Show them mercy. I'm down here, it says, it is impossible for us to make ourselves righteous by justifying ourselves. Proverbs 29 says, Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from sin? In and of ourselves, who can say that? Job 9:20 says, If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. And perverse simply means turn aside, hands distorted from the right. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. And I've noticed that at times in our, especially when going to New York City, passing out tracts and telling people of God, wanting to give them, handing out tracts, they say, No, I'm good. Somehow they find things in their lives to justify them that they're okay. They're not an ungodly person. And we can probably look back in our lives where we have found ourselves there being convicted before we were converted. But Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And I'd like to look at some verses of who we are without the justification that God provides for us. Turning to Romans 3. There are many verses that we could go to. in Romans 3, starting in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and their tongues they have used deceit, and poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that the things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, this is the verse I wanted. So therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is made manifest by being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. And it just includes everybody that God has created. It says everybody that believes in him, there is a righteousness which is by faith. Romans 7:18 also says, for I know that in me, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So when we try to justify ourselves in what we do or what we have done when it's not right, we're not hurting anybody but ourselves. It hinders us from having a right walk with the Lord. But I thought of King David, and we know the sin that he committed toward Bathsheba. And we find that when Nathan came to him, Nathan the prophet came to him, and he gave him this parable of the sheep that had one lamb, or the shepherd that had one lamb, and the shepherd that had many lambs. And the shepherd that had many sheep took this one lamb, the single lamb that the shepherd had. And we notice that in David there was no justification. He just said, I have sinned before God. And you know, he faced consequences from that sin. But it seemed like God still used him. He didn't justify himself. There's a verse in Psalm 51:3 concerning that. It's David says, have mercy on me, O God, according to my loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And this is the secret. He says, for I acknowledge. In other words, I recognize the wrong I have done. I acknowledge it. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He didn't justify himself. And then it says, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judges. And as I thought about that, I thought about the words we speak when either we are enlightened with truth of the word of God, or when a brother comes to us, exhorts us, maybe a wrong that we've done. The words we say either condemn us or they justify us. In Matthew 12:37, it says, by the words that are justified, and by thy words thou art condemned. I guess just encouraging us this morning, if there's anything like that in our lives, just being humble about it and, yeah, confessing, acknowledging. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I thought about, sorry, Harvey, I keep using your, I was just blessed with the testimony. There are many things that we can think about when we think about self-justification and justification by faith. But I thought about baptism. You know, it would have been easy for Harvey to say, well, in our culture as Amish, we don't do that. I mean, you know, we just need to be satisfied with how our culture does it. Or he can look to the Word of God and say, no. This is what the Word of God teaches. I want to have a believer's baptism. And there again, it's about justifying or acknowledging that God's word is truth and being willing to surrender and yield ourselves to that. It says, godly justification comes by faith through Jesus Christ, a faith that is fixed upon the crucifixion and resurrection of God. The only way we can be justified before a holy God, and with that, there is a path of repentance, confession, surrendering, giving ourselves under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit. That is true justification that brings peace and joy in our lives. Acts 13:38-39 says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him that believe are justified from what? Somebody know what it says? From all things. What a promise. From which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. What a blessing. And then this verse in Romans 3:4 is this. For God forbid, yea, God be true, every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And as I thought of that verse, I thought, you know, when we justify ourselves, we hinder in being an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Amen. But when we acknowledge and we confess and we turn to the Lord, he gives us the overcoming power through his Spirit to become victorious in our walk with God. It is blessed with that verse, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. What a blessing. 1 John 5:4-5, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Just a couple more verses thinking about justification by faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9, being much more than justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. And as I thought of that, you know, when we become right with God and become justified in faith, it doesn't stop there. But we continue in life as God enlightens us. We continue to acknowledge the truth. And maintaining our relationship with God, it has to be that way. You know, there may be come a certain point where God enlightens us with truth. We say, oh, we're not, no, we can't. That's taking us down a road which is going to be very uncomfortable. But we dare not do that. We continue to acknowledge the word and the truth of God. And when I think of that, whom he justified, he also glorified. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says that we behold him as in a glass, are changed from glory unto glory. And as we think of that, I think of a man beholding his face in a glass like the mirror. And if any one of us, we take Brother Joe and we would come Monday morning, we would put some kind of a contraption where he'd have a mirror in front of him, and he would go throughout the day, and all he would see would be Joe Mast. And I can assure you that there's some things by the end of the day that he would recognize that he probably never has known before. Something about his resemblance. And isn't it that way when we behold the Word of God as in a glass? It says we are changed from glory unto glory. And that is what I want to encourage each one of this morning as we face another week, as we continue in serving God, that as God enlightens us about things in our lives, about the truth of God's word, let's not justify, but just acknowledge and confess and continue to walk with the Lord. And so, Lord bless you all.